Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Legal recreational marijuana is big business in Illinois, and now the City of Chicago, State of Illinois, and the University of Illinois system are teaming up to put more brains behind the bud. I'm Rob Hart, in for political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. New Year's Day marks the third anniversary of the legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois. It has since turned into a billion-dollar industry with double-digit sales growth in the second year. Now, the University of Illinois is getting into the cannabis space. The U of I's Discovery Partners Institute is opening a cannabis research institute in Chicago. We're joined by Bill Jackson, executive director of the DPI, and this interview is being conducted via Zoom video conferencing. Bill, thanks for joining us today. I'll dispense with the obvious joke about how University of Illinois students have been conducting off-the-books cannabis research for decades and ask, what makes this Cannabis Research Institute unique?
The Discovery Partners Institute brings other institutions together in order to do research on critical topics. So these institutes, you know, are institutes across the globe, but they consist of Northwestern, University of Chicago, Argonne, several institutes in Europe, Asia. And so this is an opportunity to bring the best and the brightest to look at, an incredibly serious topic, how cannabis should be used, how cannabis opportunities to improve the medical research needed to ensure that cannabis and the knowledge base to be so people use it appropriately.
And the legal cannabis or the recreational marijuana industry has been growing by leaps and bounds, at least on a state level, not just in Illinois, but elsewhere. It's still illegal on the federal level. Is there anything like this in the cannabis space on the academic level anywhere else in the country?
There are other players that do spectacular research as well. The University of California institutes do well. UCLA, San Diego, a number of institutes in California do cannabis research, and to a large extent, pretty sizable research. I believe the University of California system does well over $100 million in cannabis research a year.
This is going to be established in Chicago. How far along are we in setting this thing up? Is it already open? Will it open sometime later?
It will open sometime later. We're in the process of searching for a leader of the institute, along with researchers and a support staff.
And then what are some of the goals of the research institute? Is this going to be, you mentioned some of the areas that are going to be explored, but the ultimate vision for the CRI is this: you're going to explore health outcomes, economic outcomes, product quality and making sure it's as best as it can be? Or could this just become a policy shop where you come up with new and innovative ways of crafting cannabis legislation?
Yeah, we really have four main areas that we'll do work in. Research, just as you mentioned, there's a whole series of questions, just around the productivity, the agricultural side, the cultivation, indoor cultivation, the use of energy in cannabis, the cultivation practices for medical and recreational, you know, plant improvements, optimizations, compounding, whole series of things just around the research side will be done. The health and wellness side as well. There's a whole bunch of questions around ensuring that the consumers know the benefits and the risks of cannabis, you know, and how do you reach that and inform individuals around the benefits and risks and how best to use it. There's a whole question as this industry grows, the training side, right? Growers, distributors, retailers, there's a whole question around training. And then to your point, policy questions will need to be addressed as well. So those are the four areas: research, you know, consumer, customer understanding, training, and advocacy.
This weekend marks the third anniversary of the legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois. And I remember doing stories on New Year's Day of 2020 about long lines outside of now legal dispensaries of people trying out the product legally for the very first time. That's a large enough sample size to really learn about how a large population responds to legal cannabis. What are some of the questions that have been raised since then?
Oh, I think there's a ton of research still needs to be done, right? Just on the questions, you know, that you've asked already, some of the policy questions, you know, how should it be dispensed? What are the benefits, medical benefits? Is it having a positive or negative impact? You know, there's the, you know, agricultural, how does the state win in the overall cannabis? You mentioned that it's a $1 billion industry. There's anticipation that it could grow to as much as 2 to 3 to 4 billion in the state alone, along with maybe 50 to 100 billion people have estimated, a pretty wide range in the U.S. alone. And so there's, you know, how does the state, one of the portions of the Discovery Partners Institute is help promote economic growth, equitable economic growth in the state.
And then one thing that happened shortly into the legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois was the COVID pandemic. And it kind of gets lost in the mists of time. But in my own personal experience, I mean, that period, March to April 2020, was just one of the weirdest times in my life and certainly in the lives of everyone else as everything got upended. And a lot of people, it was a time of great uncertainty and anxiety, and a lot of people went to the dispensary to manage that, or at least you know, find some way to take the edge off. And one of the areas that could be explored is also just cannabis and the mental health aspect of it. You know, what are the health benefits or the health risks of turning to cannabis in a very anxious time, such as the COVID pandemic of 3 years ago, versus pouring yourself a drink or two at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Rob. You know, the health questions are still, you know, need some deeper research. You know, is it better to, you know, as you point out, take the edge off of with cannabis, or is it, you know, other ways to do it, right? And what are the benefits? And, you know, it's like everything, moderation is probably a good concept, and how much and how to think about it. You know, there has been some really good research in that space, but a lot more is needed. And to inform the public, to make sure that they're using it appropriately and not overusing it.
We're speaking with Bill Jackson, Executive Director of the Discovery Partners Institute at the University of Illinois, which is opening a cannabis research institute in Chicago in the near future. And Bill, I'm peppering you with questions that seems like the CRI is designed to answer.
Yes, they are, Rob. That's the exact purpose of the institute, right, is to inform, you know, to do research to ensure that we grow an equitable, you know, industry within Illinois and beyond, and to actually, you know, help Illinois' economic growth.
As if the CRI fulfills its mission, it sounds like it can become a leading source of knowledge and resources inside both the cannabis space and the cannabis industry. How do these things benefit Illinois economically by establishing that the state is a knowledge base? How far does industry follow that?
Well, you know already Illinois has a lot of reasons to win in agriculture and cannabis, you know, specifically. You know, Illinois already plays an important role in the cannabis industry with several leading, you know, players in the industry. You know, with the passage of the Illinois Cannabis Regulation Act, you know, it's, you know, and the equitability of that act, right? It's really grown the state's retail sales and growth. And what we're really trying to do is ensure that Illinois wins in that, right? So cannabis productivity, making sure that it's, you know, the health benefits and that businesses grow in Illinois specifically.
Let's talk about the equity component of legalized recreational marijuana, because the legislation, when it passed in Springfield, was designed to address past wrongs, especially with respect to the war on drugs, which did take a serious toll economically on black and brown communities in Chicago and in other cities. And it did send a lot of people to prison. And this legislation was designed to undo some of that, even though it took decades to come together, and it will probably take decades to reverse it. At the same time, though, a lot of players in the legal cannabis space have big, deep pockets and lots of investors. So how do you make sure, how can you craft policy, or how can you do research that just looks at, you know, making sure that some of those past wrongs are addressed, and that the big players aren't the only ones getting the big money in this growing industry?
Yeah, a couple things. So first off, the Institute will take money only in certain ways. So federal grants, state grants, city, local municipality grants. We will not take money from anybody who, you know, breaks federal laws. So that's a key component. So we won't be influenced by large cannabis players. Second, by understanding some of the policy research we'll want to do, that will also hopefully influence and inform, you know, some of these debates that go on about the extent of, who's getting, you know, and bringing visibility, if you will, and who's getting what portion of the overall rents or economics from the cannabis, as well as the questions around, you know, incarceration issues and, you know, what is the right line to be drawn, and how this has either helped, you know, society or not. And when and where. I think these are really complicated questions that, well, there's a lot of opinion out there, but they need to be informed by facts.
And Bill, you managed to answer my next question, which was about independence. How do you keep the Institute from becoming essentially a marketing and research arm of a growing cannabis industry?
So just as I had said, we have a very strict policy on how we will take how we will take money, and it'll be from people who aren't influential and who are non-oriented towards the industry. So we have set up a cross section of, you know, decisions, if you will, a decision tree on how we take money.
Is there?
And it really drives us to taking money, honestly, from really federal grants, state grants, very independent institutions.
As the legalization debate lurched forward in the 80s and 90s and into this century, there were a lot of people who said that, you know, smoking a joint at the end of the day was no different than pouring yourself a cocktail or having a beer. To continue that alcohol industry comparison, to the best of your knowledge, is there an academic research institute that explores alcohol or tobacco or other, for lack of a better word, vices, in the same way that this research institute will look into cannabis?
Yeah, there are players who, these questions have been out there for a long time. They're not new questions, right? To your point, these issues around the trade-offs between alcohol and cannabis and even other drugs have been out there. There's been lots of research done in that space, and a lot of different institutions have done it. I mentioned the University of California system. They've done a bunch of research in that area. The University of Illinois does research in the hemp and hemp area and in the cannabis area. University of Virginia. There's a number of institutes that are working specifically in that space.
But on the alcohol,
just to give you a sense too, the one other advantage of the university, right? We have a great healthcare system, right, in the university, and one that actually, serves underprivileged communities. And so we have insights, and hopefully data yet to be determined on, how this does affect various population groups.
But I was going to say, if you go into, let's say, the University of Kentucky system, is there an institute looking into the development of bourbon in the same way that the U of I is going to be researching the cannabis space?
So I don't know enough to answer that question, to tell you the truth, Rob. So I'm sure there's lots of institutes that look into the alcohol question as much as they do the cannabis question.
And then this is a great time for researchers, too, because it seems like you're catching the legalized cannabis space in various stages of evolution. I mean, Illinois has been doing it for 3 years now. Some countries have legalized recreational marijuana for quite some time. California is farther down the road. New York just started. So there are various sample sizes that researchers can examine and play with.
No doubt. Yeah, and we've already been working with some of the people at the California Institutes, specifically around the legal side of this. I mean, this is still, at the federal level, class one drug. So there's still lots of issues that we need to be able to deal with on that side. So even though it's legal in the state, it is still illegal at the national level. And so we need to make sure that we follow all the laws nationally as well. And since California has, to your point, had a lead in this, we've been working closely with them to understand how they manage through the complexities of that.
And then earlier this year, I should say, since it's 2023, I now have to say last year when talking about something that happened in 2022. But last year, President Biden signed an executive order talking about the possibility of descheduling marijuana from the list of narcotics. And if that were to happen, there are a lot of legal hoops to go through. How would that change the CRI's work?
Yeah, it would just, 35 states already have it legalized. I think there's a lot of anticipation that sooner or later the U.S. at the federal level will legalize it. The Biden discussion is just the starting point of that and an indicator, if you will, of a foreshadowing of the possibility of the federal government legalizing it. Most people in the industry believe that will happen, when and how and, it'll just increase the growth of the industry dramatically. Which will then put more desire and drive and need on an institute like this.
I was going to say, how far along in the process of the legalization of recreational marijuana as the legislation was making its way through Springfield, even before January 1st of 2020, how far along in that process did the desire to open up a research institute, when did that enter into the equation? Was this pre-legalization or post-legalization?
Post-legalization. So at least from my, we were brought in really by the state and the city, in the sense of, hey, we want an institute that will do non-biased research that will help both the city and the state win in the cannabis, but win in the right way. And that's how this came about. It was really driven, by both the mayor's group as well as the state level. And we've been interacting with them for at least 12 months. So it's been an ongoing dialogue about, what's the right way to set this up? How do we make sure that, everything is, non-biased? How do we, just get this organized, if you will. And so it's been an ongoing discussion, but it was post the 2020 legalization.
In your conversations with city and state officials, do you get a sense that the reaction to legalized recreational marijuana, did it exceed expectations or has it met expectations? as far as the amount of revenue generated, the customer base. Was this something that that people expected, or were they surprised that it was adopted so quickly?
Yeah, no, I don't think they're surprised by it. I think they're very hopeful that this will be an industry that, again, Illinois can take a leadership role in, and they want to ensure that that happens in an equitable fashion. Most of our conversations are to ensure that Illinois wins equitably.
And where would this put Illinois? I mean, you talked about how California already has done extensive research in the University of California system. But regionally, across the Midwest, where would this put Illinois compared to its peers, some of which have just entered into the world of legalization in the most recent election cycle?
We want to be, and we hope to be, in the forefront of that. We hope to catch up in many regards to what's happening in California, and actually work with, you know, everybody, you know, in order to understand the implications of cannabis, you know, and ensure that that knowledge gets translated into our businesses in Illinois.
I know I've asked a lot of questions comparing legalized marijuana and legalized cannabis in Illinois and other states to alcohol or tobacco. And my question here is the legalization or the legal issues surrounding alcohol and tobacco, I mean, have been swirling for decades, if not over a century. And so it's they've been cobbled together through different historical periods and various social forces that have come and gone, and this kind of patchwork of issues that have led to the laws governing alcohol and tobacco. But now it seems like with cannabis, you can start from square one. You're actually creating the space from the very beginning. And as a researcher, that's got to be very exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one of the great things about this institute is not only thinking about all the possibilities of the research that can be done, but also how do you affect and thoughtfully ensure, right, the legislative and regulatory policies, you know, in the state and beyond the state of Illinois, promote responsible use of cannabis and minimize, you know, hurdles for the industry as well, right? So it's that combination that we'll be working on.
And the legal side of your research also has the potential to be very exciting, because you can look back on all of the issues related to drug prohibition, the black market, the crime that kind of sprung up around it, and potentially your research could revolutionize drug policy above and beyond legalized marijuana.
Yeah, no doubt that this institute, just by playing in the cannabis, can reach into other areas. Certainly on the drug side, but also on the ag side as well. There are always overlaps or things that naturally are adjacent to the research you do in one institute versus another. And so we see a lot of positives, you know, coming out of an institute like this, and that are natural to the University of Illinois, which already does research in this space, and is natural to Illinois broadly, and ensures the economic growth of the city and the state appropriately.
How do you put something like this together? You know, the steps towards assembling this research institute are underway. What researchers do you want to bring in? What areas of emphasis do you want to tackle first? How does this whole organization process come together?
Yeah, so the first and foremost step, right, is to hire a staff and capability that can do the research appropriately, right? And then to organize, you know, our group of researchers across the university and across our partners in order to go after thoughtful, needed grants. So our first steps will be to hire a research, and we already have, you know, an application out. We're looking for the institute leader. We also have applications out for researchers, and we have applications out for, you know, staff, in order to go after these and to coordinate, right, across our institutions, you know, how to go after certain pieces. And we're looking at a way, I mean, you're going to need labs in order to do this research. The labs need to be in a certain, with a certain capability to, you know, recognize the federal requirements of handling high THC drugs. So, you know, we're well on our way to understanding all that, and we're well on our way to starting the hiring.
And are you casting the net far and wide across the country, around the world?
Yes.
Or have you discovered that a lot of the brain power is already in-house in the U of I system?
Well, we have a lot of brain power. There's no doubt the U of I system has tremendous brain power. No doubt about that, but no reason to limit ourselves. And so we're casting our net wide.
And then lastly, as a researcher and just as someone who has observed this scene, just tell me about your own, you know, personal level of excitement in getting this thing off the ground and up and running. I mean, we talked about some pretty weighty issues during the past half hour, and you get the chance now to explore them and come up with some answers to some of those weighty issues, and also potentially change the debate in a very meaningful way.
Well, you know, I think that just understanding what the Discovery Partners Institute does, this is perfectly aligned to that. Our objective, right, is equitable economic development for the state. Cannabis and Hemp Institute is just one area in order to make that happen. We see this as a big opportunity for the state. We see this as a big opportunity for Equitable. But Discovery Partners Institute is working on other things. Like, we do research today, you know, for, you know, students and teachers and education. We affect policies in that right way. We do, you know, we're doing a whole bunch of workforce development on, you know, questions around tech and tech development, software development. We built a business around COVID in order to protect people, called a Shield, Shield T3. So this is just another great step that the Discovery Partners Institute, which is part of the University of Illinois system, is supposed to do and needs to do.
They say time flies, and I still can't believe it's been 3 years since recreational marijuana was legalized in the state. Let's take a little snapshot into the future. Where do you see your research going 3 years from now?
Well, Rob, I hope we have a conversation 3 years from now, and we're an institute that is doing the things that we talked about, the fundamental research around cannabis, both from, you know, from the beginning, the ag, all the way through the retail side, the educational process to ensure that customers and consumers understand the benefits and the issues with cannabis, you know, the training, you know, the policy questions, and that we're an institute that makes an impact positively on the equitable economic growth of Illinois. And I'm very hopeful that this institute will be sizable in comparison to some of the things that are already being done at the California system.
And we'll have to leave it there. Bill Jackson, Executive Director of the Discovery Partners Institute at the University of Illinois, thanks for joining us today. The Cannabis Research Institute will open in Chicago sometime later this year. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on the Odyssey app. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, in for political editor Craig Delamore, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.